Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to NVC 541. I am Seth Macy. I am your permanently temporary host, joined today by Brian, Pear, and Tom, and we're going to be staring into our Nintendo crystal balls and looking into the Nintendo future, what 2021 holds for Nintendo, what we want it to hold, what our hopes and dreams and wishes are. But first, wait, no, that's not how I should transition to this.
I think you're doing great. No, keep going. This is perfect.
Yeah, you know, my family just got home.
Are you going to call Super Ninfrendos again? You got
to
do it.
Ah, oh, dude, I forgot to call you Super Ninfrendos. No. Hey, what's up, Super Ninfrendos?
People on the
Facebook group are using it. Somebody has like a group chat with their friends, and they changed the name of the group chat to the Super Ninfrendos.
See?
I mean, I'm a trendsetter. What can I say?
All right.
Speaking of trends, let's talk about Nintendo's release trends for 2021. This is what we know. January, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. A lot of people looking forward to that. I missed it the first time for whatever reason. I don't think I had like $5 to spend on it at the time. February, Cultist Simulator, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, Little Nightmares 2, Persona 5 Strikers, Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection, Bravely Default 2, huh? Yeah. Capcom Arcade Stadium, also actually pretty excited. March, we've got Sea of Solitude, Monster Hunter Rise,
Shout out to Casey. Story of Seasons, Haven, Dynasty Warriors 9, Empires. And then we start moving into a little bit more Uncharted territory in Q2. April, we got nothing. We don't know what
Uncharted
in April. What's that? Yeah, Uncharted is
coming to Switch in April.
Oh, right. Uncharted plus Bowser's Fury is coming in April. May, we've got Alba, A Wildlife Adventure. June, Temtem, Spelunky 1 and 2. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, which seems like it's been coming out forever.
When is Shin Megami Tensei? June?
Yeah, June.
Oh, man, that's way too far.
That's you can disgusting. Finally find out how the Skywalker Saga ends in June.
Right.
It turns out the Skywalkers were inside of us all along.
Yeah.
Just Monster Hunter Story. Trine 4, Saga Frontier Remastered, Disgaea 6, Defiance of Destiny, Q3, July, August, September, October, November. We don't know.
Nothing.
Q4. Yeah. Chained Echoes, and obviously a big Nintendo game to be announced. This is what we don't know. Breath of the Wild 2,
mm-hmm.
No More Heroes 3,
mm-hmm.
Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, and that mm-hmm. new Pokemon Snap that everyone just lost their minds for and wants more than anything in 2021, other than, you know, being able to not wear a mask. Missing franchises. Splatoon. We haven't heard anything about a new Splatoon. Star Fox, Fire Emblem, Donkey Kong, F-Zero, which we never hear about, Kirby, Kid Icarus, Mario, Mario Kart, Mario Party, Pikmin, Pokemon, Super Smash Brothers, and Xenoblade.
Punch Out.
Punch Out. Oh my God. You know what? I waited so... Oh, and an Advanced Wars would be good too, because I never played Advanced Wars, and everyone tells me how much I would enjoy Advanced Wars, so...
Ice Climbers, Urban Champion. There's a lot that you skipped, actually. Like, you really dig into
well,
it.
I think we listed the active franchises, right? So,
yeah.
With the exception of F-Zero. But, you know, Captain Falcon is in Smash, so there's still hope. There's still hope.
That's my hope and dream. And we'll actually get to that a little bit later. But the new Switch, the new Nintendo Switch Pro, we've been talking about it, I feel like, since PS4 said, we have a PS4 Pro now, and everyone said, well, Switch can have one too. Doug Bowser, in an interview with Polygon with Russ Frushtick, whose name is extraordinarily difficult to pronounce, said basically, no, there's not going to be a new model Switch in 2021. He's quote, the momentum on Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch Lite in the fourth year is strong, end quote. He also said, quote, we believe we're at the midpoint of this life cycle on the platform. And right now, with the momentum that we have, our focus will be on the existing form factors. Of course, he's talking about the Switch and the Switch Lite. So I don't know if any of you read the interview. Yes, Pear.
I did, but I want to caution you to be careful, because Doug Bowser is obviously part of the Jedi Cabal at Nintendo. And so when you ask him a question, he's going to do the little kind of start at the beard hand wave thing, right?
Yeah.
And then he's not going to say no. He doesn't say no. He says, right now our focus is on this, which is the politician answer or the Jedi answer to wave away anything, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the thing to remember is that Nintendo in the past has said, we're not working on new 3DS hardware, and then we got the new 3DS, right? Like they've done this again and again, and like they do this because... One, they don't know how the Switch will continue to sell. And the moment it dips, they go, release the Kraken, right? They get the next system out. And then secondly, they don't want to tell their competition what they're up to, right? So you'll always get this kind of, right now, we're focused on this thing. But he's not really saying there won't be new hardware, is he?
Yeah. What were you going to say, Tom?
Well, I was just going to agree. Like, it is a very political answer, which I don't fault him for or blame him for, right? Obviously, they're more frustrating answers when you just want an answer to the question after so much hype and speculation and stuff. But I think Perry's dead on in that, like, they would be silly right now with how much, just from a marketing standpoint even, with how popular the Switch is and how much it's selling, to give any inclination that maybe, hey, you shouldn't buy one right now and you should wait, right? Like, that would be, they would be shooting themselves in the foot if they did that. And so this answer is not a no, but it's also not closing the door in any sort of real way. And I would imagine also indicates that eventually we will get something new, but just not immediately.
Right. Yeah, I was going to point out that if you do read that interview, it is the master of saying so much without saying a single thing at all.
Think about it. If he had said, next year seems like a good year for new hardware, that would have been the lead of every story on the internet, right? And that impacts their shareholders and their stock price and all of that. And it can impact the stock of companies that manufacture components for Switch, right? All of that is so connected. And that's why they have to kind of speak in generalities like this. And it's like a nightmare for a journalist, because now you're like, well, what's my headline? Is, did he say no? Did he say, what did he say? And like, the answer is, he didn't tell us anything.
Right. Yeah. No Switch Pro, which is kind of, you know, you can use that headline forever and always, because what if they name it the Switch Professional?
No, right now, we're feeling good.
We are focused.
Switch.
We're
focusing on the Switch.
Great momentum. Market headwinds are in our favor. We are just going to keep our head to the grindstone, which isn't actually how the saying goes. But yeah. See, I could be the president of Nintendo of America.
By the way, it could be February, and then they go out and go like, here is a new model of the Nintendo Switch Lite that has a new external port that you hook up to your TV, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually kind of expecting
that would be crazy.
But I will say, it's like Nintendo did this funny thing in the kind of like second half of December, right? Where they basically just started like, they were like, oh man, we got to go on break next week. Like, let's just dump all these announcements out real quick.
Oh, yeah,
and like, they just started saying stuff. But like, we're now getting to the point, and this statement from this interview from Doug Bowser doesn't really do too much to like exacerbate this problem, but it doesn't help it either, which is, we're getting to a point now where I'm looking at 2021 for Nintendo and going like, I wonder what this year is going to be like.
Yeah.
Right. Like, cause we don't really have much indication. The only game of theirs that's first party that has a date, unless I'm missing one on that list you listed, was like the port of, or the like the re-release of Super Mario 3D World, which is getting new content, and that's exciting, and it's a great game, but like, it's not like a brandy new thing. So now hearing like, okay, they're focused on current hardware, and none of their major games have dates, and all of the second half of the year is kind of a question mark. Like, I'm not worried yet, but like, I am also looking at 2021 just going like, what is this year going to shape up as for Nintendo? Because I genuinely don't know.
Well, this is how we started 2020. Like, we started 2020 in the exact same boat, going, we don't know anything. What we did know was that there were these giant looming threats of the next gen consoles and Cyberpunk 2077. And seems like not
off the list.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if you look at NPD, you know, the Switch was the best selling console for 24 months in a row. It can probably run Cyberpunk, I guess. I mean, it seems like it doesn't matter if something can or can't. They can
still
put it out
anyway. Pixels just bouncing into each other.
But neither of these big, you know, battleships were able to take down Nintendo this year, and nor did they need to. I mean, they survived off of a lot of stuff that we didn't anticipate. You know, Mario Kart Live Home Tour and a Breath of the Wild Musou game and Pikmin 3. Like, there was a bunch of really like interesting surprises, some new, some old, and we got a bunch of cool stuff. And I don't think any of us anticipated this, and it turned out pretty awesome for everybody this year.
It's almost like it's the Wii playbook again, right? Where the top selling games are actually the games that are now 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the evergreens, like Mario Kart, is just this evergreen game that I bet if you play it in 10 years, it'll feel fresh and new and all of that.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the learning here, is like how long the tail is on some of the games that Nintendo makes. We saw that in the DS era, where every year it was New Super Mario Brothers was the top selling game.
Yeah.
It looks like we'll have a repeat with this format.
Yeah, he mentions as much in the interview. He says, you know, like Legend of Zelda and Mario Kart 8 are still selling like so great. We have this great, you know, library of games that people still love to buy. And, you know, which is obviously true. Brian, I might be misremembering this, but didn't you and Jose go and do an interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé one time? And he just like pulled the 2DS out of his pocket like casually.
Yes.
Nobody knew. He's like, oh, by the way, look at the door being held open. Poonk. And he pulls out the 2D.
Legitimately, one of the most surreal moments of my life was Reggie Fils-Aimé doing what was essentially like a one-man stage show, tiny desk concert, Nintendo Direct / E3 press conference, where he was like, and fans around the world will be excited to learn about the Nintendo 2DS. And we were like, this is a goof. Like, this dude's messing with us.
We saw
so you never know, right?
Your text messages from the event were amazing. We all thought you were punking us when you said you.
everyone made us go in like different rooms and draw what it was, because it hadn't been revealed to the rest of the press or the public until the next day. And we all drew this cheese wedge triangle with buttons on it. And everybody was like, my God, the 2DS is real.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was so bizarre.
That'll happen next year. Just like we couldn't predict Mario Kart Tour, there will be something hardware related where we go, oh, what? Right?
Yeah. Okay.
A
hand crank? I'm going to make a very safe prediction that I will not be in a small room with Reggie Fils-Aimé next year as he reveals a new handheld. If I have, call the police, because something has gone awry.
Yeah, but traveled back in time and you told yourself you'd be in a room with someone named Bowser who showed you a remote control car or drone for Star Fox VR, then you would probably be surprised too.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm into that.
Oh, it was one of our listeners sent that one in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a very good idea.
I know. I love it.
Wow.
Oh, man. If you read the review or the interview, it's much ado about nothing, but we'll see. Now that we know, we know they like to surprise us, and maybe you'll be walking down the street one day and Reggie Fils-Aimé will just show up in a trench coat and open it up and there'll be a whole new Switch in there. It'll have 4K graphics, fell off a truck.
There's like, he's a tall, imposing man. Like
he's a giant man.
Not everybody can pull like a Wii U gamepad out of a shirt pocket, you know?
The Wii U was even attached to it.
Well, for 2021, of course, this year we had Super Mario's 35th anniversary, and we got all kinds of cool stuff like the Game & Watch. And
yeah, I got mine right here.
Oh, I love it. One of my favorite little things that they've ever made.
I actually bought two extra to give to gifts to family members.
That's awesome.
So that's why if you couldn't get one, it's my fault and you can help me.
They're difficult to get online. They're not difficult to get at retailers. You could go to a Walmart or a Target and there'll be 1,000 of them. So if you want to hack one, go ahead and buy 10, 20 of them, practice your soldering on them, do what you can. But
what can hacking do to them? Sorry, this is totally a tangent.
No. I've been following the Game & Watch hacking community. What? Well, you can't do a software hack. You have to do a hardware hack. So it requires you to desolder the memory chip and solder a bigger one on and solder a port onto it that can boot it externally. It's very interesting and very complicated. And I can't remember the name of the YouTube channel right now that I'm following, but yeah, they've cracked this thing wide open. They're running emulators on it, but you can't just plug it in and
pop some new stuff. Somebody got Doom running on it.
Yeah, on it with no exactly. It was no textures. But if you're gonna hack something, the first thing you do is you run Doom on it.
Yeah.
All of the demons are naked. It's horrifying.
it is pretty terrible. But
it is.
Where I was going with that was, we have a lot of games that are coming up on their 35th anniversary in 2021, and they're actually quite big franchises for Nintendo. And of course, I'm talking about what else but Kid Icarus. What a fantastic powerhouse franchise that has turned out to be over the years. And I'm only kind of joking, because I actually am quite fond of Kid Icarus on the NES. It's one of the first NES games that I ever played.
Mm-hmm. The Game Boy game is highly slept on too.
Really?
Yeah. It's
well
decent.
I'll have to check it out.
7 out of 10.
That's a good score. But of course, Metroid turns 35 in 2021. The Legend of Zelda turns 35 in 2021. The original
Legend of Zelda, the classic, came to the Famicom Disk System on February 21st, 1986. Metroid came to the Famicom Disk System August 6th. And Kid Icarus, I did not know that Kid Icarus was a Disk System game until I was researching before the show, but that also came in 1986. So we got all these surprises for Mario. Do you think it follows that we'll start seeing surprises for Legend of Zelda, for Metroid, for Kid Icarus? Brian, do you think we're going to get a Game & Watch with the original first two Legends of Zeldas on them?
Oh, I don't think so. I would appreciate that, though. But I think the way you listed those things is the order of excitement they will have for their respective celebrations. Like, I think it's going to, they're going to roll everything out for Zelda, and then it'll be like a little bit for Metroid, and Kid Icarus, they'll be like, you get a cupcake. Like, there's not going to be a lot for Kid Icarus. I love Pit. I love Dark Pit. I love Palutena. I love.
No one loves Dark Pit.
He's cool. No, he's regular, but tough and scary.
When they announced Dark Pit as a new character in Smash 4, everyone was like, nah, what? Like, come on. And then they like literally invented Echo Fighters for the next game to calm people down. Like, no one loves Dark Pit. If you love Dark Pit, tweet at me because I don't believe you exist.
Well, okay. Right, be ready for it.
I'm trying to build excitement around this franchise for a birthday party. There's only maybe four or five characters at this whole party. Most of them are royalty free. You know, you got to put some enthusiasm behind Palutena, Dark Pit, Medusa. There's the Eggplant Wizard. Yeah. What about him? Huh?
What about Eggplant Wizard?
The commemorative set of Eggplant Wizard pins. I'm talking Eggplant Wizard t-shirts at Uniqlo. We're going all out for the 35th
day. There's going to be nothing on the hashtag. There will be, honestly, there will be nothing on Kid Icarus.
No, there won't.
But I do think, when you said Game & Watch for Zelda, it's like, I don't know if Nintendo repeats itself like that. It would be really cool because the Game & Watch, there was a dual screen Game & Watch Zelda game, which was like silver and green.
I have it. Should I grab it?
Yeah, grab it.
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Yes.
If you, we'll talk while he's leaving, but if they brought that back, it's just such a cool device. And if they let you play that game or maybe even an enhanced version of that and not just, play the NES Zeldas on the machine, be really, really cool. Brian, show it off for those who are listening.
There it is.
Clamshell green Zelda Game & Watch.
Oh, that's so cool. Ooh.
I got this in a retro game shop in Belgium, and it is mint condition. They had two of them, and this is the one I bought. Did not have a child's name written on the back of it.
next time, get me the one with a kid.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
If we ever travel again, that'll be a priority.
I have the Game & Watch Zelda Game & Watch Zelda watch.
So that one's like awesome.
Watch, it's just in my work box somewhere.
Oh, that's right.
Yep,
that's a really cool one.
Are we going to get Zelda 35?
So you think we're going to get a Battle Royale Zelda game?
Ooh.
Well, that's what. Zelda 35. Is that going to be a thing? Like, how far are we talking here?
I was thinking about it and I thought, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Like I'd be really interested to see what they did for that. But then I thought, wait a minute. What if we finally get the Zelda Maker that everybody wanted for Wii U back then? Like how amazing would that be?
Cool. I was thinking the exact same thing. There was that weird, do you guys remember the concept art for Breath of the Wild that was basically top down NES style sprites?
Yeah. In 2D,
they like mapped out the overworld in 2D and conceptually like how the game would kind of flow, and so I remember reading like quotes about how it could and couldn't work. But if you look at the weird side mode in Link's Awakening when you went to go see Dompei the Grave Man, that weird dude that guy's sick in the head, you could basically collect tiles throughout the game and create your own Zelda dungeons. It was extremely rudimentary, but I do think there's something there that you could spin off as a whole mode. And there's certainly enough art styles to play with,
Oh my God.
Well, I totally agree with you, but I also think that mode is the reason that we're never going to get, or not at least for years, going to get a Zelda Maker, a proper Zelda Maker solo, because they said in interviews around the time that that came out that basically that was their response to people calling for a Zelda Maker. And they were like, yeah, we'll try it. We'll try it out in this. And then the reaction to that mode in Link's Awakening was like largely pretty negative, like not like totally outright negative, but like the mode was way cool. Like you said, it was kind of rudimentary, right? It was way cooler in concept than it was in execution within this game. And I would imagine that probably they tried it there and saw the reaction and are probably not going to spend much more time on it than that, unfortunately, because I would want it.
I would measure the reaction as sort of like a thunderous, resounding apathy.
Right.
Like it wasn't necessarily, it was people were just like, what's this? Oh, I'm not going to play that.
Right. Like, right.
I think rather than like a and first of all, this anniversary is in February, right? It doesn't mean that they have to celebrate it then. But if they were targeting an early date like that, I think we are more looking at like a Zelda All-Stars like collection where
they
bring in a big game from each more of the more recent consoles. You know, maybe you get a collection of maybe you get Twilight Princess, which they already did an HD remake of. So
that's true.
Easy port. They'll do Wind Waker, which they already touched up, obviously, for Wii U. And then you could do Skyward Sword as the one, you know, the one big one. You got your like triple collection like that. I could see something like that.
You know what'll really happen though is that GameCube disc that you could get with the four games.
Oh, I have that one. Yeah.
I have it somewhere. They'll just re-release that on a GameCube emulator
I hope not, because the emulation on Majora's Mask was notoriously bad in that one, like just super choppy. You guys remember that? Like it was.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't even just the emulation.
Yeah,
remember it had to load because the game was too much to hold in memory. Like if you went into your menus, the disc would have to load, and they'd be
stutter.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would be remiss to not give Casey a shout out for also like the 3DS version they made, right? Was like completely different. Like it changed a bunch of things, like that, and fans think a lot of the things they changed were for the worse, actually. So like they have tweaked that game a few times and brought it back a few times, and not always to great success.
Yeah. But yeah, Zelda is a huge franchise for them. There's no way they're not going to celebrate this anniversary.
So here's the thing I want to ask real quick, though, because if you had asked me last year before all the Mario stuff, before we even knew that they were going to do something to celebrate Mario's 35th, if they were going to celebrate the 35th anniversary of either of these game series, I'd be like, no, 35 is a pointless number. What the heck? Like, why is 35 an important anniversary? You're just doing every 5 years, or like
I will tell you exactly why. You know, I remember it was always like the first anniversary, the fifth, the like 25th, and the 50th were like the only anniversaries that anyone ever celebrated. But then somebody was like, "Well, let's just put one out on the 20th," and a dump truck full of money pulled up to their house and dumped bags of it. And they said, "Well, why don't we do it for the 30th and the 35th?" So yeah, every 5 years now we get it. You know, it's like I have the Akira 35th anniversary collection manga, and it's amazing, and I know that in like another 2 years they're gonna do another one that's even more amazing and incredible. So yeah,
age 35 is a big milestone. It's the first time your knees hurt just from being alive. It's the first time you can get a hangover from one drink. Like it's pretty significant.
This is all very true stuff.
But the real hint is in, if you go back to Nintendo 2 years ago, they said, not only are we creating games, but we are really leaning into into the nostalgia play and the history of our characters, right? And that's where you heard more about Universal Studios. By the way, there's a direct for the new Universal Studios Mario Land thing this week. Or many weeks ago, depending on when
episode. this is the future. We're living in the future now.
That's right. When they said that, I think they looked at all their characters and they looked at the anniversaries too. And I think that's why we got Mario. And like, it's hard for me to believe that they would stop at Mario. I think Zelda is big enough for them to do it.
Yeah,
I do fully believe they will stop at Kid Icarus though.
and Metroid, maybe Metroid, that's finally when we get the trilogy.
Well, that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. Like, do you think we're going to see any sort of big fuss? Because as much as I love Metroid, and like I think everybody here loves Metroid, I don't think it's as huge
of a phenomenon outside of like real hardcore Nintendo people.
Frustrated
so,
me.
Yeah. But like, you know, Zelda, everybody knows Zelda. Everybody knows Mario. And everyone's like, oh, Metroid, that's that spaceman who shoots.
But that's like what's so frustrating is that that's such a chicken and egg thing, though, because it's like they don't celebrate it because they don't think it's big enough. And every year that goes by where there isn't a celebration, people are like, well, I guess it's not that big. Like if they went all out next year and they're like, hey, Metroid is awesome. Super Metroid is a classic game. The original Metroid still holds up today. The remake of Metroid 2 is fantastic. Zero Mission is phenomenal. The guy talks too much in Fusion, but it's good.
There's Federation really a lot to Force is
Federation. We're not going to talk about the soccer
kids
game.
Love
that's
it.
Not Metroid. That's not Metroid.
It's not Metroid. Yeah, and the trilogy, right? Like, there's a yeah. And then they can go, hey, look, we got hats, we got pins, we got shirts, we got the eggplant wizard. You know, we got everything going on. It's been a great year.
The famous Metroid eggplant wizard. I actually think they're going to take Metroid more seriously. And one, right, like going back to retro with development on this game, like they were going to farm it out and do what they did with Star Fox, right? Bring in an external team who, you know, they may be really passionate Metroid fans on that team, but it's not the same as having a tried and true in-house team or, you know, a second party like Retro working on it. They went back to retro, which is probably not a cheap company to develop games, right?
Right.
Compared to like a partnership with Namco Bandai. No offense, Namco Bandai. Good job on Smash. I think they're going to go bigger with Metroid because when you look back at the history of Fire Emblem was this franchise that was huge in Japan, really passionate fans. You know, people loved the anime style around it, all of that, did always really well. They sometimes released Fire Emblems in the West, you know, like the, you know, they put it out on, post Super NES, you would see it on consoles, but it was never celebrated. It was never pushed. Now, Fire Emblem games are huge on 3DS. They got really big, and it was because they marketed the games. People discovered them. Obviously, you know, loved the gameplay and really fell in love with that franchise. And now they're taking it so seriously. They're releasing a special edition for the original Famicom game, which Seth is pulling out of his hat right now. Right there, they are actually publishing that in the US, and that was always a smaller franchise in the West than Metroid. And like, I gotta believe Metroid is so like at the cusp of being.
Never would have guessed that they would do a special edition for an ancient NES game.
And it's so good. It's such so good. An amazing collection. Do you think that then we're going to get the mythical, the fabled, hushed whispers is when it's spoken about Metroid Prime Trilogy for Switch?
I think
is the year.
I think that's the anniversary. That's the anniversary product we get, I think.
And available for
we're not going to get Metroid Prime 4 this year in 2021. We're not going to get it.
Yeah.
We're going to get it next year.
You think
2022 we'll get Metroid Prime 4 for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's maybe even optimistic.
Yeah.
I think I predicted like 2027 or something for Metroid Prime 4 on the Switch Super Switch U 2.0.
Well, like there I would love for them
to Switch and watch.
I mean, we have Super Metroid on Switch.
It is currently on the SNES online service, and it's on if you have a Super NES Classic.
And we have the original Metroid.
Yep.
We haven't got the GBA ones back.
We haven't got the GBA ones. And I'm wondering like if they bottleneck themselves with their whole, you know, online minus, you know, instead of virtual console approach where like they can't just put two GBA games on there without being like, oh, the rest of you got to come and we have a new tier and all this other stuff. Like, I wonder what happens with that.
They could do a collection look at Game & Watch, right? Like they had Mario on their virtual console replacement, but they also put it out as a physical hardware product. Yep. And I don't think rules apply to Nintendo. I think they'll do whatever they want to do. And they might give you two GBA games in a package. By the way, the GBA Metroids are so good.
They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a copy. No, I don't. What am I talking about? I just have the game.
Okay, well, thank you.
Disregard. Disregard. So, Kid Icarus trilogy confirmed for 2021. High definition remake of... Oh, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked again. But regardless of whether you think we will or won't see what we've been talking about, I would like to hear what your 2021 Nintendo dreams are. Brian, what is your 2021 Nintendo dream? Just reach for the stars on this one. Just
reach
go
for
real
the
crazy.
Stars.
Reach for the stars. I mean, I feel like we've covered Zelda pretty well, like all the ports that we want and Metroid and stuff like that. Those are two of my favorite franchises to get those out of the way. Yeah. I would like a new 2D Mario game. I don't know if we'll get one. I don't see the reason for them to make one because 3D World is going to sell like crazy and the 3D collection will sell like crazy until it turns into a pumpkin in April and disappears. I know, it's so strange. And Mario Kart will keep selling, Smash will keep selling, but I would love a new 2D Mario game. On top of that, I made a joke about Punch-Out before. That is such an easy franchise
to just
give us a new, you know, like what we got for the Nintendo Wii, like an HD remaster of that game, a new game entirely. Like it's such an easy win. People have such nostalgia for that franchise. I feel like it's, you know, it's ultimately like a 2D fighter, like not to diminish the work that goes into something like that, but this is not like people are asking for a 200-hour 3D open world RPG, right? Like I think it's like you can put a small
Punch-Out
team behind
2077.
That. God, yeah, that would be awesome. Actually, it's kind of how I'm playing that game. No, you could put a small team behind that and like get some serious wins. I also I really want to see them partner with more indie studios, and I think that's the easiest way to get a bunch of like quick games out. I feel like if you partner with a small studio and you made a new F-Zero and a new Metroid and a new Mario, you know, like stuff like that, like even a new Kid Icarus, like there's room to partner with. You know, like Yacht Club and do something really cool or partner with, you know, is it Shinen that makes the really awesome looking, the racing games and stuff like that. Yeah. That and I want Pikmin 4. I really want Pikmin 4.
God. Yeah.
Not to say everything, but.
You just mentioned every single game.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make it difficult.
I said reach for the stars and Brian reached.
I did.
He almost burned his fingers on those big supernovas up there.
Pikmin go to space.
The ones you didn't say is what you're going to get. You're going to get a new Mario Party and you're going to get Splatoon 2, Splatoon 3.
That's true.
I love Splatoon, so I'm happy if it comes back. But feels like that's the sort of cadence they have with Splatoon games.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a summer release or something.
Tom, what are your Nintendo pipe dreams? Oh, like Mario. Get it?
I'd like a new my pipe dream for Nintendo for a long time that I've kind of made peace with at this point that will not happen. Which is fine. I've made peace is a new Kirby game that is both weird and hard. So
that's not going to happen.
Something like Canvas Curse, right?
Oh, okay.
Where like that game is not a cakewalk and is also like a strange Kirby game, and I would love to see them do something like that. Kirby roguelike, did you say?
Yes.
I mean, careful there, because the copy ability really does set it up for a good roguelike format. So
you want a realistic down-to-earth Kirby that's completely off the wall and swarming with magic robots.
Yes, basically.
Could you imagine if they went to like a roguelike developer, like an indie studio, and said,
dude,
here are all the Kirby characters, make a bone hard Kirby roguelike.
They did it with Zelda. They gave Zelda to a roguelike, a hardcore hard roguelike developer, and they made a hardcore hard roguelike out of it. So like, crazier things have happened, but I will agree with Brian that I do want to see them. I'd love to see more indie Nintendo game crossovers with like developers I love. Like, I know this is not happening and will probably not happen for any time soon, but like, dude, give Mario to the Celeste developers. Like, what would happen? You know? And
they couldn't jump for one thing, so Miyamoto owns exclusive rights to jumping.
That's fair. But like they're working on something else. EXOK, they're developing whatever their next game is. They're working on it. They're having fun with it. So like, they're not working with Nintendo. We know that for a fact. But like, man, what would happen if they were just like, our next 2D Mario game is going to be made by the people who made Celeste? Like, that would be sane. And I'm not exactly hoping for that specifically because I know it's not going to happen.
Oh, I specifically want that now. I want them to delve into like Mario's subconscious and his depression and anxiety issues. Yeah. That, like, honestly, he's been doing this for a long time. He's probably got a lot to unpack. I want to hear about it.
But yeah, like, it'd
be so cool to get indie Nintendo franchise. You could have Untitled Gruus Game.
Wow. Look how proud he is. He's so proud.
It's so good. It's really good. He's just that giant man just beating up that small British kid and stealing his glasses. Yes. I'm so into it.
Okay.
So I'm not necessarily hoping for that in 2021 specifically, but I am hoping, I agree, for more things like that. I hope Nintendo looked at Cadence of Hyrule and things like that and went, we should do more of this. Let's experiment more, and we see more of that next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
And Pikmin 4.
And Pikmin 4, of course.
I mean, my dream is that Breath of the Wild 2 actually comes out next year. I would really, really like that.
Yes.
But I would love, you know, as a big fan, obviously, of F-Zero, I always want F-Zero to return, but you got to find the right dev for it. And fortunately, Amusement Vision has been dissolved and they were so good at it. No, my dream is for Donkey Kong to return in a meaningful way. And like, mm-hmm. I love the Donkey Kong Country games, you know, that Retro has done. They're really, really good. I talked at length about returning to play it with my daughter in co-op, and we absolutely loved it. And I would welcome another one. I really want to see them deliver on the promise, the unfulfilled promise of Donkey Kong 64, and create a like an open level game, like a Mario, you know, Mario Odyssey, with the Donkey Kong characters, with exploration and collection and all of that. And then with that same kind of focus on homage to the original Donkey Kong games as seen in Super Mario Odyssey. Like, if you remember, the Mario Odyssey Donkey Kong stuff was so freaking
that
good.
Was it was amazing.
Amazing, right?
It was now,
pure. That applied to classic Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Country would be just, that would be my dream for next year.
By Donkey Kong characters, you mean Donkey, Diddy, maybe Funky, Cranky, and Candy, right? None of the like Dixie, Trixie, Lanky, Donkey, whatever, all those guys. Like, because it falls apart. Falls apart.
Kong are great, okay?
I want the vine crocodiles from Donkey Kong Jr., and that's it for enemies.
They're great. They're really
they
good.
Go up and down, and that's the entire game.
I think between them and Eggplant Wizard, it's going to be a huge, huge 2021.
Big 2021. But
honestly,
return.
Like, give me Mario as the villain in the next Donkey Kong game.
Yeah.
He's just mucking stuff up.
You know what the Monkey Paw version of this is going to be, right? What
Donkey
is
it? Kong it's math.
Donkey Paw, actually.
Yeah. It's going to be my classic pitch that I am still waiting for happening, which is the return of Donkey Konga on Switch, where the Joy-Con are little bongos that you play with your thumbs. Because I want it more than anything else in this world.
Donkey,
I think,
Thumba.
Just in time for us all to get back on airplanes again, get on out there.
Dude, it would be so good. Little
take a couple of red eyes, wake up the seats around you.
What was that indie game where you have to slash the enemies on the screen? I forgot.
Fruit
Ninja?
No, it was like a exploration game. Anyway, I played that on the airplane, and my seat neighbor got so mad at me. He's like staring at me. I'm like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, you're shaking the seat.
I was on a red eye flight next to this like 7 foot tall man who was playing a Tiger Woods game on an iPad Pro where you had to do this to make the ball like, and he was just sitting there and he's like, oh, and our entire plane was shaking. We're like, oh my God. So don't do that.
Don't do that. No. You know, there's another big anniversary in 2021, 25 years of Super Mario RPG.
Yay!
Ooh. Oh,
yeah. I
still own that game.
Know if they would bother to do anything with that one, though.
Probably not. put it on SNES Online. It's missing.
Yeah,
like, but it's on the SNES Mini.
Right. It's developed by Square, published by Nintendo with Nintendo IP, and I wonder if there's some weird like rights issues that they have to sort of jump through with that one.
The funny thing is, and whether this is just coincidence or part of this, is that, you know, people were calling for Geno in Smash for so long, and then when they just added, now that they're adding Sephiroth, they're also adding like Tifa and Barret as Mii costumes. And then one of the Mii costumes they're adding is Geno.
I know.
So that confirms him as not a character, but also that does seem kind of interesting that they finally add him when they're adding other Square characters, right? Like whether that's coincidence or not, I don't know.
I haven't given up on that one. And I feel like probably Square once in a while looks at their catalog and says, how come we don't do that instead of, you know, like Bravely Default? But obviously they want to own their own IP too. But I think it's much more likely that we'll get this from our friend Davide from Ubisoft.
Yes. Yes. Right? I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Because they did such a nice job. I would love to see that game return. It'd be probably impossible for Yubi to remake a Square Enix Nintendo collaboration, but they could maybe do they could do Super Mario RPG 2 for Nintendo.
Yeah,
and I bet he would totally have pitched that, don't you think?
Oh God, yeah. And you, yeah. I mean, you just know he loves that game, like, yep. And I think that like him and his studio would do a phenomenal job with it too.
Yeah, and yeah, you are referencing the developer for the
Mario and Rabbids.
Thank you,
Mario and Rabbids. Yeah.
Mario and the Rabbit People. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Which, Seth, if you haven't played it.
No, of course. I have played it. It's wonderful. Parker, my son, absolutely loves that game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Brian, you reminded me that Super Mario RPG is on the SNES Classic because I forgot entirely.
Right.
It was on there and I need to plug that bad boy in and go revisit some Super NES games. There's two other big anniversaries. 25 years of Shadows of the Empire for the Nintendo 64.
There you go.
I mean,
I picked that in a previous episode as a remake I would love to see from Bluepoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Something tells me that anniversary is going to go by pretty quietly.
Nobody.
I know. It's as though they don't have any interest in Star Wars anymore. It's, I mean, they've got this free
property. Also LucasArts no longer existing.
So Limited Run Games did a like special edition collector's thing for it like a year ago, which came with a cart and everything. So that's probably the closest you're going to get to a professional celebration for that not great game that we also really, really enjoy because we're nostalgic.
It had some great parts, but overall it was a little bit too disparate between the parts and pieces. Mm-hmm. One more anniversary, 30 years of one of the most legendary Nintendo Entertainment System games of all time. It cost $199 when it released. And of course, I am talking about Action 52, your official home of Cheetahmen.
Yeah. Yes. That? Yeah.
You're not familiar with the Cheetahmen? No.
I know about the Cheetahmen.
The Action 52 is a famous most of there's 52 games on there. 51 of them are unfinished or unplayable. It costs. They're all unlicensed. And the big selling point was the Cheetahmen, who were envisioned to sort of replace the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in children's pop culture collective consciousness.
So when they're still working on it, when you say it's a long plan.
It's like Cheetah the animal, but it's pronounced like Die Hartman.
Exactly.
Cheetahmen.
What are you?
Cheetahmen.
Hartman. Is it like Herman?
Hartman.
Sitamen. Where do you store all this information?
Who? Me?
Yeah. Like these incredible facts about Cheetahmen and Action 52. Like it's just impressive.
Dude, he lives in Maine. He doesn't have to deal with that busy, blustery city life, you know, with all that noise and stuff like that. Yeah. He can distill down the quiet and the trees and the snow, and then it's plenty of room in the brain for spacious relaxation.
Sounds like
and
you're
meditative.
Not familiar with Maine, my friend. They have pet cemeteries, zombies, cars that kill people and rebuild themselves.
That's true.
Vampires.
I made Maine a Stephen King travel show there with Seth. I know all
that
about it.
True. That was a good time.
Yeah, one of the best days of my life. Seth Macy picked me up in his Waluigi car, listening to Wu-Tang. That was a wonderful day.
That was such a trip.
Best.
I don't think we're going to see the Action 52, remake.
No,
that we deserve.
No, but that's
Seth. Only you know about the Action 52.
That is not true. I feel like 10 years ago, it was sort of like one of those touchstones that people like were talking about on
major touchstones.
Yeah. Well, you know, to
if you were into sort of retro disasters, okay. I think maybe Sean Baby was one of the ones who sort of brought it to the forefront. But yeah, just to make fun of it because it's.
I was on a conference call with the heads of First Four Figures the other day, and they said they're doing not only the Eggplant Wizard in like a 6 foot tall statue for Holmes, but also all four or five, I don't remember, of the Cheetahmen. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be Galileo and whatever.
Copernicus.
This story is not true.
No, that is not true.
Dude, there was a significant pedal to the metal in the 90s to like outpace the Ninja Turtles. Like how we got all this. Like we got Hero the Shark.
Biker Mice
from Mars. And
oh, yeah. The Sewer Sharks.
The Biker Mice from Mars racing game on Super Nintendo is great. So, you know.
Is it?
It's actually really fun.
When's its birthday?
Well, look for the return of Cheetahmen in 2021. You heard it here first. All right. We've got some questions, some year-end questions and comments. I went to the Facebook group and I asked, what do you think? What do you think the Nintendo future is going to be? Do you have any questions for us? So Justin Belinsky asks, has Nintendo abandoned the full fat Nintendo Directs, or do you think they may resume once development ramps up after the pandemic? Also, will we see a new original 2D Zelda game on Switch? First part of the question, I absolutely think the pandemic was 100% the reason we didn't get like a big Direct this year. I mean, nobody could go anywhere or do anything. Mm-hmm. It was a long year. So yeah, I'm fairly confident that we're going to see the return of those. Does anyone have anything?
I'm not so sure. I think that having smaller, you know, kind of shorter, more compartmentalized things spread out more throughout the year is better for them momentum wise. And it's easier for them to convey messaging on a whole bunch of different things.
Oh, that's
things.
True.
I think they'll do quarterly directs. Like, look, they just did an indie one again, right? So when they have product coming to the system, they're eager to announce it and they spent the time to put these together. I just think they had nothing, right? Like they just didn't have a lot of games this year from like at the kind of top tier level once we get past the beginning of the year.
And also critically, the timing of those games was in flux and unsure because of the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So the broken up directs allowed them to be more flexible timing wise. But I agree. I think maybe we will see more of these individual directs, but I think we will also see a return to bigger ones in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Zelda, 2D Zelda, I think we'll see a return of a 2D Zelda game for the anniversary for sure, or them pushing it. I have a hard time believing they'll make another one. They just did Link's Awakening, right? And Breath of the Wild is the next big one.
And they did Cadence too.
Yeah, Link's Awakening sold amazingly well. So I have a feeling what you will see is that engine hopefully optimized so it doesn't hiccup as much, running Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. That would be super cool.
That would be super cool.
That's an easy win, I think.
Yeah. Daniel Griffin wants to know, are we done with Wii U ports? And the answer is yes, because there's nothing left.
No. What?
Wind Waker. Everything over.
There's
Wind Waker and NES Remix. I want those.
NES Remix would be
awesome. They're so slept on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we never got that Super NES Remix that we all thought was coming.
Yeah. Nintendo Land is still sitting there.
Nintendo Land.
Wind Waker, I think, are the biggest.
Is very underrated.
I'm sure we'll get Switch Sports Resort eventually with like little Pilot Wings pieces and stuff that they can port parts over. But there's not a lot left. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized yesterday that the Switch is technically the Wii U Classic because all the games that were on Wii U are available on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. So he also wants to know, do you think we'll get 3DS ports like Ever Oasis and Fantasy Life?
Ever Oasis, I'm not as familiar with. Fantasy Life, I know, is really well liked, though, so I wouldn't count that one out entirely.
Yeah, I feel like we'd be more likely to see new entries in those game series than we would to see like the ports on the 3DSs. But who knows? They've ported 2DS, 3DS, or excuse me, DS and 3DS games with the Mega Man Zero Collection, and that was awesome, and it was very fun to play.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot.
I totally agree with you. It was great, but also like those were games not necessarily designed specifically for the DS, right?
Oh, yeah,
like I don't think we've seen a ton of 3DS ports to Switch, like wholesale, right? Like maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they're just
Just like the stuff like The World Ends With You, things like that.
Right,
Seen, but we haven't seen like Nintendo's big mainline titles, and like a lot of those were designed around the two screen and the touch screen stuff.
Yeah,
which you can do on the Switch, but there's always like an asterisk, and it's always not mm-hmm. ideal. It's not like the Wii U where the graphics aren't that far removed from the Switch, yeah. right? Like 3DS, you got to do a lot more work.
Yeah,
very low res games when they run on the system, so. I think they'll go back and go back to Game Boy and 3DS games and bring them over, but I don't think it's going to be like the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope and dreams that they'll build some sort of peripheral that you can just pop right in there and throw in your 3DS or DS games, play them on your Switch. But that should have done that in the Nintendo Dream segment. I'm sorry, everybody. I failed you. Carl DeNovio wants to know, where the hell is Bayonetta 3? That's exact. Brian said it best.
Yeah. Good question.
There were five years between the first one and the second one. And obviously some of the delay was caused by, you know, having to find a new publisher and all of that and financing. It has been a long time, right? Like we're going to look at 6-7 years probably between the latest one. I have no idea. It's been really, really quiet, which means that'll probably be a big one next year, right?
Oh, that's also true. That's
Bayonetta 3 is hanging out with Breath of the Wild 2 and Pikmin 4 and Metroid Prime 4 and all those other
games. Arms crossed.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, nothing for you. Not this year. Timmy Barr.
I don't want to go out.
It's cold and everybody's wearing masks. Timmy Barr has, this is not a question, but this is Timmy. My main accent just came through there so bad.
Timmy Barr.
This is not a question, but a Nintendo dream. Just building off Starlink, but ditching the failed Toys to Life concept. Will Nintendo give us the real open world Star Fox game we so desperately need? I think Starlink is an absolutely charming little game that got completely buried. I think, you know, and if it had come out in 2 years from now instead of when it did, because there's just enough bad stigma. You know, parents were going into a store and they see a new thing and they're like, we've got a drawer full of Skylanders that my kids haven't touched. We've got a, you know, and so the Toys to Life thing was still a little bit too fresh in everybody's mind. But I played this game at E3 2018. I was like, wow, this is super fun. My son has it, loves it, plays it all the time. Will that open the door for that open world Star Fox game?
Well,
probably not.
One thing I think is pretty clear. The linear on rails space shooter genre is dead.
Yeah,
like I don't, like honestly, if as a developer, as a publisher, thinking about what game you will do next, you could do all these, you have all these franchises to work with, all these game types to work with, this is guaranteed to not sell as much as many other franchises, many other game types you could do, right? Like we've seen this with failed attempts to bring back Panzer Dragoon, all of that. I don't think it's the end of the Star Fox franchise. Like I could see them going back to like Dinosaur Planet, Star Fox Adventures, set like a character-driven game. I could see them go to something like that and then have flying segments built in. But like Starlink also didn't do well, right? Like that was an open world flying vehicle game. Like it's just, you know, outside of Star Wars, it doesn't seem like people want to play these games.
Can I add a caveat to your statement of the on-rails space shooter is dead? Asterix in 3D. I think you could make a classic Star Fox game that is like top-down Ikaruga bullet hell style.
Ooh.
And it would be amazing.
That would be really cool. Oh, man.
With the right developer.
That's a great idea.
That sounds super fun.
That's one of those wonderful ideas that I put out in the world, and then now we have to live with the fact that knowing it could happen and never will. Starlink, I think what Starlink did, it was a very fun game for sure. I think what it did more than anything else is cemented the idea that Ubisoft knows how to handle Nintendo's major, series with respect and really well, and treating them like elevating them in an interesting way while not just doing what Nintendo would do. Like, I think Ubisoft has really proven itself to be able to handle, like, the Star Fox stuff was like the best part of that game to a certain extent.
The and toys held it back, though, you know, like, yeah, it was an interesting concept. It tried to do a lot of things, like be Star Fox, be an original IP, and then also be a Toys to Life product. And I wish. I wish it had just been a Nintendo collaboration to make a Star Fox open world game and like put it in the hopper for another year and release it jointly.
Yeah, the toys kind of clouded the message on that. I really enjoyed the game on Switch with, you know, Star Fox in it, but I never messed with the toys at all.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't feel like I needed to.
Good.
They are really cool.
If you're interested, and they're like $3, you could buy every toy that they've made at your local GameStop. They have
Or
stickers are actually 2 inches tall from having so many, you know, 10% off, 20% off.
Yep. Just,
it's a sad, sad thing. But thanks everyone for the questions. We are done for 2020. That was it. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate my super Famicom and all the Super Ninfriendos.
Ooh,
listen,
Super Famicom. What you got to just throw a new one in at the end of the year? Haven't we suffered enough? You got to.
Oh, sorry. You weren't on the last show when everyone was real, real angry about that one.
Yeah. So. Seth was being a real giant disc system.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.